Roger Ailes is considered one of the most important men in American media. As the head of the Fox News channel, Ailes over the last decade has transformed, for better or worse, cable news. And his relationship with his boss at Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, continues to strengthen after Fox created a new business channel last year, and Murdoch acquired the crown jewel of journalism that is the Wall Street Journal. In the first of a two-part interview, WMNF yesterday interviewed Kerwin Swint, who has written the first biography of Roger Ailes called Dark Genius. WMNF began by asking Kerwin Swint what he made of the escalating feud between Fox and MSNBC. It began when Keith Olbermann of MSNBC regularly attacked Bill O'Reilly. Now Murdoch's New York Post has followed up with attacks against Olbermann and their gossip pages.
Well, I think it's helped Olbermann's ratings more than it's helped O'Reilly's, and so he's loving it. But the tendency for Fox, or for News Corp, really, to go after their business opponents or political opponents is classic Murdoch. He's done this going all the way back to Australia and Great Britain. He uses his media properties to savage his opponents, to lay landmines, and this is no different. He's using Fox News to go after a perceived enemy. It's pretty clever, but it's pretty entertaining to watch.
Let's go to the beginning. Roger Ailes was a television guy out of Ohio beginning his career. It seemed to really turn dramatically for the better, although he was successful working for the Mike Douglas Show. But when he began working with Richard Nixon in his 1968 presidential campaign, some of which was written about in Joe McGinnis's book, The Selling of the President in 1968, what did Ailes do for Nixon?
Well, Ailes is the guy that taught Nixon how to walk and talk and look like a real human being on television, which was a minor miracle at the time because, of course, Nixon was known for, you know, the stone-cold, terrible performance on TV against John Kennedy. So he really needed an image makeover, and Ailes is one of the guys in the last 40 years who really understands television and communication better than anybody, and he worked with Nixon and helped him a lot. He created these programs called The Man in the Arena, which made Nixon look approachable, warm, you know, made for TV. And he did much the same thing 20 years later for George Bush 41, who also needed an image makeover.
Right. Now, you mentioned in the book, the Joe McGinnis book, The Selling of the President, 1968. Did McGinnis write about what Ailes is doing, and that did that cause a little bit of controversy?
Yeah, McGinnis wrote a groundbreaking book, really, which was one of the first looks at how a presidential campaign in the media age really is run, and how it's so much just like selling a product you see on TV. And it caused a lot of waves. He, in the book, talked about a lot of private negotiations and discussions going on behind the scenes, and some of those are pretty raw and coarse. And when the book was published, it caused quite a stir. The Nixon administration wasn't real happy about it.
He, of course, became a GOP political consultant in the 70s and 80s. And as you mentioned just a few moments ago, he, of course, helped out George H.W. Bush in 1988. And you write a lot about in your book, specifically the Willie Horton ad that also had the fingerprints of the late Lee Atwater and Floyd Brown. But you write about how the negative perceptions that really emanated from that campaign and the Horton ad in particular ultimately forced Roger Ailes out of politics.
Yeah, after 68, he became a known commodity nationally. He was very much in demand. By the 80s, he was really the go-to guy for Republican media consultants, had a big stable of clients, worked for Reagan in 84, and he really had a star turn with the Bush 88 campaign. His association with the Willie Horton ad is very controversial because he and Atwater, of course, were running against Dukakis and talking about his prison furlough program and running ads criticizing Dukakis as being soft on crime, while at the same time an independent group, you mentioned Floyd Brown, had created the infamous Willie Horton spot. The question has always been how much coordination was going on, if any. There are a lot of people who have looked at it and conclude, including the general counsel of the FEC, by the way, the Federal Election Commission, that there was more there than meets the eye, that there really should have been a full-scale inquiry, and there wasn't. But it really made Ailes the issue after that. He became more famous than some of his clients, and the Democratic opponents in some of those races saw Ailes coming and started campaigning against him, made him the issue, and I believe that helped usher him out of politics by the early 90s.
You did mention also that he did work on Rudy Giuliani's 89 campaign as well.
Mm-hmm. And resuscitated some of the same strategies. They tried to paint Dinkins as favoring racial minorities in New York City. They tried to make an issue out of some of the people working in his campaign as sort of Willie Horton light. But it didn't work for Giuliani in 89, they used the same tactics.
We're speaking with Kerwin Swint. He's the author of the new book, Dark Genius, The Influential Career of Legendary Political Operative and Fox News Founder Roger Ailes. Kerwin Swint, Roger Ailes then went into cable TV after he was basically forced out of politics. He worked for General Electric and the cable news channel America's Talking. And as you write in your book, some of the tools that he ultimately was able to perfect at the Fox News channel in the late 1990s began here for Ailes. It featured personalities, people talking a lot, which is really what cable news has become known for now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you look at what they do at Fox News, which is a real mix of entertainment and talk radio style television programming, he did a lot of that at NBC with the America's Talking channel and also at CNBC, which he helped turn around in the mid-90s. And there's always been an entertaining mix of confrontation, discussion, and high-pitched analysis that goes along with the news. He did it at NBC, and that's what he does at Fox. He thinks traditional news reporting is just boring. It's vanilla. It's mundane. And he thinks the real excitement is when people mix it up, and they're able to also able to help push the discussion towards the right wing in those discussions and analysis.